morning. Glad to see everybody. We've been off for a couple of weeks, so got a lot of things to do today. Councilman Wilson is out of town. He will not be here today with us. I assume Mr. Deaver's on the way probably, so we'll get started there.
Probably went to Disney World after his big success.
You never know.
They all go to Disney World.
First thing will be approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning. We can amend the agenda under executive session, striking job applicants' qualifications, also striking personnel, maintaining pending and potential litigation, as well as land acquisition.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions?
Yes.
We'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had minutes of October 16th. Any questions, concerns, or corrections? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Mr. Lawson?
Reading of correspondence.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we did have correspondence. I was trying to get to somebody else really quick. Okay, go ahead. I'm
sorry.
Correspondence.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first letter is from The Way Home, Inc. Dear Mr. Vincent, we are truly grateful for the support shown to The Way Home by Sussex County Council, our board of directors, staff, volunteers, and participants. All send their thanks for this timely help. Then we have a letter from Town of Slaughter Beach. Dear County Council, Town of Slaughter Beach would like to sincerely thank you for the opportunity to participate in the Sussex County Council Revenue Sharing Grant. This grant is very helpful for our small community and enables us additional opportunities which we otherwise might not otherwise have had. And the last is from Delaware Hospice. Thank you very much for your thoughtful and generous gift of $450 in support of Delaware Hospice Festival of Trees, a gift in honor of a beloved family member, special friend, or selfless caregiver acknowledges and pays tribute to that person in a meaningful way and in turn provides the resources for us to care for other families in need. Thank you. That's all, Mr. President.
Council, any correspondence? Lawson.
Yes, thank you. First item today, we're joined by members of the Delmarva Teen Challenge presentation, including Mr. Bob Carey. Mr. Carey, would you like to come forward and make your presentation to council? Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, council. Good morning. So thankful to be here. A couple years ago, we were at the Sussex County Council prayer breakfast, and we're able to give a presentation there. But I just wanted to give the council members an update as to who we are and what we're doing. First of all, I have a heart to help put families back together here in Sussex County. The way we do that is we have a residential program called Delmarva Teen Challenge. We are one of 1,100 centers globally. Delaware, being stationed in Seaford in Sussex County, was the last state to receive a Teen Challenge Center, and we planted it 4 years ago. We took over the previous Seaford Rescue Mission and changed the whole infrastructure over to a faith-based residential program addressing life-controlling issues. So we help men at this point, 18, 19, and above, with addiction issues. And I think all of us are aware that addiction is probably the number one offender of the breakup of the family unit here in Sussex County. Since I've been here, there's just an epidemic of pills, street drugs. Most of the people that are incarcerated next door were under the influence when they did those crimes. Since we've been here a little over 4 years, we've graduated 126 men from our one-year residential program. And that's not just the man receiving help. He goes back and makes amends to his family. He becomes the godly father, the husband, the leader that he was created to be. And one of the distinctives that makes us the world's most successful residential recovery program in the world, with an 86% success rate, is the faith component. We believe that a personal relationship with Christ is foremost for life transformation. And I've been with the organization 20 years now, and I myself went through it 21 years ago. I worked for the DuPont Chemical Company up in Wilmington. I grew up in Bridgeville, Delaware, on a hog and chicken farm. Moved up, got my education up in Newark at Hokesson at Sanford Prep Private School, went to the University of Delaware, and worked for DuPont's off of Route 896 for 11 years, and drank my way into the gutter. And it was in the gutter there that someone found me and introduced me to the Teen Challenge program. The program is 52 years old, and it's the world's largest. It has 35,000 residential beds globally. Currently, there's 22,000 to 25,000 people that have gone into Teen Challenge this very year. And Sussex County is being impacted here. And that's what we're all about. We're open to whosoever needs help. We partner with many other organizations. We receive no federal funding. We have car washes. We have a thrift store. We do fundraisers. We just had a concert down in Salisbury. We do the Crab Feast. We do many things to try to raise support. Currently, right now, we're building a 5,000 square foot education building and community services building, which will be open to other organizations as well as our own. And we have plans after that gets built to open up a women's center, to have long-term residential women's center for adult women that are experiencing problems. And we are here for the long haul, and we want to make an impact and help Sussex County and the Delmarva Peninsula get back on their feet from the addiction issue. And I've brought with me a couple gentlemen. Bill, if you could please join us up here. Bill is from Greenwood, Delaware, and he is graduating the one-year program this month.
Eight more days.
Oh. Looking forward to it. Hi, I'm Bill Root from Greenwood. I had a life-controlling issue of alcohol. I drank myself out of a job, out of my family. My family didn't want to have anything to do with me. After a series of other events, I found myself at Delmarva Teen Challenge, which I'm very grateful for. If it wasn't for that organization and the way that they use a God-based program, I've tried other programs before and it didn't work. I've tried them all, and nothing seemed to help me with it. And this program has. It's kept me away from alcohol the whole year I've been here, of course. And I have no desire. I have absolutely no desire to drink ever again. And I'm just so thankful for God and for the Teen Challenge program.
Now, you seem to be an old teenager.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am very old.
Yeah. As is George.
As we all are.
I am the oldest one there, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you, Bill. Sure. The name is somewhat of a misnomer. Though it started out 52 years ago, helping adolescent teenagers, the addiction problem has escalated up into adulthood, and our average age is about 32 or 36, and that's the national and the international average of folks that are in the Teen Challenge program. They didn't want to change the name because of PR reasons, our national office. And by the way, the Seaford location, our location, and I will brag about this, we've won national honors for 3 years in a row out of 1,100 centers, and I'm very proud of that. Dustin, could you please join us?
Good morning. My name's Dustin. I'm from Milford. I joined Teen Challenge about 10 months ago. I was addicted to painkillers and heroin. I had grew up in the church, had a Christian, strong Christian family, but found myself straight away very far and very fast. I ran completely away from God. Found myself homeless, you know, living in the woods, and you know, just had nothing. No, my family had nothing to do with me. You know, I was completely alone. Found Teen Challenge through my parents. Got a phone call from my mom and said, if you want help, I got a place for you to go. And came to the end of my wits, and I decided to join the program. Since I've been a Teen Challenge, you know, I turned my life completely around, restored everything that I've had. You know, my family, you know, is completely behind me. I had a little sister who was terrified of me that can't wait to come see me every Sunday. You know, through God and just the program, just completely restored my life, you know, completely gave me dreams again, just gave me a new opportunity to just go and do things that I couldn't do when I was in my addiction. And I'm planning, actually, in a couple months, I'm planning on attending Bible college out in California. You know, I'm just, through the program, after having help, I want to go out and be able to help others, you know, with what Teen Challenge has instilled in me. And, you know, just praise God for that. I want to thank you guys for having us this morning.
Thank you. So that's who we are and what we do. And we just want you to be aware that we are an active resource for the court system. I'm in the jails once a month, giving hope to the folks that are in jail. I've got two people that are on staff. They've got 3 years on staff with me that used to be major drug dealers in the Laurel District and the Seaford District, and they were arrested many times. But now they're sharing strength and hope to people. We do drug prevention programs in all the high schools and junior high schools and around the state. And we just want you to be aware that we're here to partner with you and to help you. Addiction is no respecter of persons. It's upper class, it's lower class, it's every race. And we want to be there to help everybody. So I just want to thank you and have a blessed day.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next presentation is by the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, DENEREC. We're joined by Mr. Dave Shepens and representatives from DENEREC to discuss proposed changes on wastewater and treatment disposal systems. This is at the request of council, and they're here today to present a proposed change. Thanks.
At the request of council? I didn't even know about it. Who requested it?
I did.
Well, I would like to have known about it.
Needed a couple. Need to call me during a meeting. All right.
It was brought up because of the changes, and a lot of people were asking about it, and we're not that familiar, so this was a chance,
yeah.
And I can remember the conversation. Mm-hmm,
all right.
That gives us a chance to educate ourselves, find out what's going on.
But you invited them. That's great.
Yes.
That part I didn't know about.
I didn't. It was Todd later. But I remember.
Thank you. I am Dave Shepens, the program manager of the groundwater discharges section, and I would like to thank the council for the opportunity to speak to you today. I've also brought James Cassidy with me. He is the manager of our Georgetown office that's in charge of all Sussex County for individual systems. Well, why we needed to make some of the changes, that was basically to improve water quality. Every stream in Delaware is impaired, decrease fish populations, increase algae blooms and dead zones, and a lot of the waterways are not safe for swimming. Fewer nutrients will restore the fisheries, improve catch for commercial watermen, increase tourism dollars for recreational fishing and outdoor. Healthy waters increase home values. Regulations normally are a cost-effective way to reduce pollution. These sets of regulations comparatively amortize the cost to county sewer. Low-interest loans are available through programs. We have flexibility through offset provisions in this set of regulations. The surrounding states that have similar regulations as Maryland, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. Some of the background, we started this process back in November 2008. It was signed by our director at that time, Kevin Donnelly. Since then, we've had 11 public workshops, held several meetings with stakeholders, established some working committees. We had a public hearing on May 3rd. We opened comments again on October 1st, and actually I have closed the business today, but in reality that was the 30th. But there is, we'll hold another public hearing on November 15th. Once that hearing is closed for that day, we plan to have the record open for a minimum of 15 days. More than likely, it's probably going to be 30 days, from my experience. I was asked to talk about some of the regulations that are probably the most controversial, as well, you know, for individual systems. So that's pretty much what I wanted to bring to you all today. We put in there the new FEMA guidelines for on-site wastewater systems, in particular in the V-zone. Basically, we're going to design these systems so that they can hold up to some of the floods. And trying to, you know, either use holding tanks and design them to where we can minimize or eliminate the flood damage completely. So we're trying to keep them away from the water. I think Slaughter's Beach was probably a pretty good example of a couple of holding tanks that were actually built under the V-zone guidelines. I didn't bring a picture with me today, but that holding tank wasn't bothered at all, whereas maybe down the street, some of the older systems, the sands moved away and left the system exposed. Another one is the all new and replacement systems permitted within 1,000 feet of Chesapeake Bay tidal waters must meet performance standards. Part of this reason for this was the Chesapeake implementation plan, as well as improving our waterways on the Nanticoke. And as far as phosphorus maneuver, it's for the larger systems.
So you're basically, for people who don't understand, that's the whole western side of the county, the Chesapeake?
I'll show you a map. No, it's 1,000 feet. Yeah, I'll show you the map. The average and
just that side?
This standard is done by either an advanced treatment unit, or it could be even drip irrigation is another way that it meets performance standard 3. So we're looking for 20 milligrams per liter of nitrogen versus 45, what we're getting now out of the tanks. 50% reduction. If it's a restaurant or something like that, we would go whatever it's giving in to whatever it's taking out, and that would be the 50%. I wanted to talk a little bit about the cost, because that's the primary interest of everybody's, is including us. These systems range anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000, and they're also required to have a service provider look at them twice a year, and that service is running anywhere from $175 to $250. It also should be noted that if you have an existing system, and the best example I can give is what I have. I have a 25-year-old gravity system that's starting to slow down. I can put one of these units in there for about $2,500, and I would not have to replace my drain field, which would be a cost saving versus more expense. But that's for replacement systems, not new construction. It would add on new construction. Our regulations also allow for a homeowner to become their own service provider. We thought that was important because some people wanted to do that, and that's a cost savings there of anywhere from $175 to $250 annually. This is the area we're talking about. Up there by the C&D Canal, there's the 1,000 feet that the systems would have to go in. And this is the picture of the tidal water of the Nanticoke. So it's only 1,000 feet from that water, not the whole county. And your parcel must be totally included in that.
In that red line.
And we have that on the, I think there should be a picture on the internet. I can get that to Hal, so we can send that out to y'all where you can zoom in and see. Another change that we've been working on for years and years is all cesspools and seepage pits are going to be prohibited. We haven't issued a permit for those since the early 60s. And that was mostly in Newcastle County. It was never really issued down here in Sussex County. They should be replaced within 1 year. I would like to let you know how we actually find out about these. These are through inspections for the transfer of a home. A lot of times a Class H will go in there, and they'll notice those. Complaints from the public when we go out and we see one of those, and naturally we have them upgraded. And then if a homeowner is adding an additional bedroom, the county requires that they get a permit from us to use the existing system. Once in a while we'll find a cesspool there, and at that point we ask them to upgrade that. And then part of that is for the transfer of a property. It's going to be a statewide requirement. Currently, it's a requirement in Indian River Inland Bays pollution control strategies for that area. This is going to be statewide, because what we found out is there's different ways that the inspectors were doing this, and you were getting conflicting information. So now that everybody's going to be on the same page to do this inspection. Again, it's been enacted in 2008 at the Inland Bays watershed. Most mortgage companies do require this. It informs the buyer of the type and condition of the system at the time of inspection. And it also protects some sellers from false claims. Occasionally somebody will sell their house, and if they had their system inspected and it's fine, and then all of a sudden they come in, a new owner comes in and starts using 10 times the amount of water, then it's not fine. So, and the cost of these inspections range from $350 to $500. Other regulation changes is we were required to change the numbering system as per the state law. We added and updated the guidance and regulations governing the land and treatment waste. We've had regulations that were, let's say, one book here and one book there. We've combined all the wastewater into one set of regulations to make it easier for the public as well as the regulators, regulated community. And we have also set performance standards for the larger systems as well. One of the bright lights, I think, is we've worked with the Department of Agriculture, and this is also in the regulations for the distribution of treated wastewater to agriculture parcels in the state. The town of Middletown, we did a pilot project back in 2010, and it provides treated wastewater to two farmers. The Jester family, they irrigated 317 acres, and the Clay family did 289. And the volume of water that they get is just what they need. So they don't have to over-irrigate or under-irrigate. That's worked out pretty well. So we put that in the regulations to make it easier for the counties and or the farmers to get this muchly needed water. I wanted to just give a little plug to our septic rehabilitation loan program. It has interest rates from 3 to 6. You must be the owner of the property with no tax liens or judgments. Monthly payments are required with the payoff at property transfer. And the minimum loan is $1,000, the maximum is $30,000. Funding is available for the septic rehab and for homeowners if they want to connect to the central sewer, such as Sussex. If the owners fail to meet that criteria to get that loan, We also have a septic extended funding option. For those that are declining, they have to apply for the loan first. This one's at 0% interest, no monthly payment, and it's secured by due-on-transfer mortgage. In other words, if you sell your property, then that, if you have that equity, then the state would get it back. The total on the at the repayment is due on the transfer, or at 20 years, it's yours. If you stay in your place 20 years, then there is no repayment on that.
And what's the maximum money, amount of money they would borrow?
$30,000 right
still
now.
Still on the extended?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
30 up to 30. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that could include a well in that if the well has to be replaced.
Okay.
What about these communities that we know have cesspools in my district? How much? How do they qualify for any help? As far are there grants available for low income people to upgrade into a regular septic?
Well, we have that program there. It's either a loan
what's
program.
The income, what's the income level?
For each county, it's different. I can get you that information. I do not have that on top of my head.
So low income folks
are eligible. Yes.
Only for the loan, but not for any grants.
Well, yeah, we do not have any grants.
Oh, you don't have grants?
These are not grants, no. Now, the one is due on transfer.
Or 20 years.
This is the first one is a loan itself.
Right.
The second one is a septic extended funding option, and it is... You don't have to put any money down. If you keep the property for 20 years and use the system.
It is a grant.
It is a grant. It
takes 20 years to get the grant.
But if you sell your property and let's say just the system costs you $20,000, you sell the house and you don't get all the $20,000. Or let's say there's no equity in the house whatsoever. They've maybe lost money. Then again, it's forgiven at that point, too.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
But if you sell the house for a profit...
You sell the house for a profit, then...
You're at the table getting your money back.
Right, and then that way we can rotate it, and it moves forward to the next...
What if you will the house to a family member?
I'm not in charge of that program, but I can get you... I'll get you, Carla.
We have somebody that like that.
I'll get you, Carla.
There's no money to pay.
Yeah, I can understand.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I will... get you in touch with the person that runs that program. So just to recap, we are going to have a public hearing at the Richardson Robinson Building November 15th. Focus of the hearing will be on the changes which have occurred as a result of the first public hearing, as well as anything else that the public actually brings up.
Have you modified it since 2008?
It's been modified quite a few times.
With all those hearings you've had, you've responded and changed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What are the main objections at this time that you know of, where it stands? Have you heard anything?
Well, there's always minor things. There's minor and there's major. And the three that I brought up, I'm sure there'll be some comments again on those, in particular the performance standards would be the main
performance
issues.
Standards.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that'll be the main issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How many parcels do you anticipate being affected by this?
I don't have that information on me, but on as far as the regulations themselves, it's statewide. That 1,000 feet area, I can get back to you on that one.
And I know we're required to notify people when their properties are going to be impacted, even if they're not having a change of zone. I think within 200 feet of the affected property, we're required to give them notice of the public hearing.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I think that would be something that the property owners would appreciate if they could be given notice.
Oh, they will be, because this regulation will not come into effect until a year after promulgation of the regs.
No, I mean given notice of the public hearing. One of the problems Kent County found when they did an overlay zone in court was that they had not given notice to the property owners that were being affected by the overlay. Oh. And the court overturned one of their significant overlay zones. Now, you mentioned the pollution control strategy. Didn't that end up in court?
Because of the buffers, yes, sir.
And that was overturned?
That piece of it, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Just on the buffers, right?
Buffers, yeah.
Yes.
That's settled.
And was that a notice issue?
I wasn't an attorney, and I'm on
that. I guess, since you're...
I can say that we've put out... because this also came along with the Chesapeake implementation plan, watershed implementation plan, which has gone into effect. I know we were down in Laurel, Sussex, giving talks, showing that same map at the same time, as well as all of our public hearings and workshops.
Well, some of this is already in effect. In other words, when property transfers, you do require upgrade. So
yes.
that's part
when
of
they
this,
find
it's them. Not all in effect. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. All right.
I just wanted to bring up the most
right. If
ambitious
it doesn't,
ones.
If it doesn't
here.
Need.
If I sit here and told everybody everything's glory, you know,
so
nice.
What?
If I sat up here and just gave you the good parts of the regulations, I think I would not be doing my job.
If a house transfers
yeah,
and the system checks out fine, and
that's
it's
right.
an older system,
it's fine.
It
goes right through.
Stamp of mm-hmm. approval moves on. Mm-hmm.
And okay, still, good. Though, if you get a complaint, you're required to go out and inspect, and you
right.
may have to
yes.
the owner do we, something about it.
Yes, we usually work out a compliance schedule with them as well as let them know about our septic repair initiatives and our loan programs.
And let me just ask one other question. On that one slide you had there, regulation change overview of individual septic systems, extra cost to conventional systems was $2,500 to $5,000. Mm-hmm. So if somebody was determined to have a problem with their existing gravity-fed, I guess that's the conventional, just
that could,
gravity-fed.
Correct.
That they could, to make the improvements, could be anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000. That's not saying if somebody went out to get a new system that meets your new standards, they only cost $2,500 to $5,000.
That's right.
They cost more than
no, that. I'm saying that's just one of their options, yes.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, a new system.
If they had to go put in the drain field, you're correct. It would be
a lot more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is just to modify an existing.
That's okay. to modify an existing okay. one for
right.
repair, correct, sir.
I know some of our towns are hoping that they'll get county sewer. I don't think there's much chance there. I wonder how financially it sure. compares. Mm-hmm. They might be better off with county sewer. If
yes.
they can get it.
Yeah,
if
and I think, yeah, and if they
Ellendale.
Can get it,
and
the department mm-hmm. has no objection to that whatsoever. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, Cedar Neck, Slaughter Neck.
Would you expect a properly installed traditional conventional septic system with a drain field to meet your standards?
Yes, some do right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're still issuing permits for them. And that part of the regulation has not changed. If you're in an area and they did a site evaluation and it said standard gravity, even with these new regulations, you'll be allowed to have standard gravity.
Within 1,000 feet.
If you're within 1,000 feet, you would get the standard gravity and the unit.
So it's
or you can go with the drip dispersal system.
So it's unlikely, if not impossible, for a traditional conventional system to meet your standards if they're within the 1,000 feet.
Well, they wouldn't. The ones that are there today, that meet our criteria today, until they fail, they would not be required to put this on. This is only for replacement systems. It's not for repair or anything else.
Or a new system.
If you build a new house,
right.
sir,
you have
you
to
would get.
Do one of these types of systems.
Again, it's very unlikely that a traditional system within this 1,000 feet is going to meet that 20 parts per
correct.
Million.
To answer your question,
it's
yeah.
probably impossible. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If we do all this for the next, in 20 years from now, will the water quality get better, or will it just be a small fraction? Because I've always felt that it's stormwater runoff is probably the main culprit for inland bays and probably Nanticoke issues.
I think it's all. Yeah, you're correct in
that.
We're doing that with the stormwater as well, right. Yes, sir. Okay. As well as the Department of Ag has done a lot of work, the Forestry Department, and we're just putting in our little 2 cents worth.
We'll be a piece of the big puzzle.
We're a piece of the puzzle, correct. Okay. Yeah, without the other, then we shouldn't be doing this, correct.
This seems fairly mild compared to what I saw in 08. I think it's really been changed and modified a lot. And I think that just requiring the gravity system is very liberal on the department's part.
More questions to council? Thank you very much for coming down and showing us this. It's a very, very informative.
I feel smarter.
I guess the only question I have would be for the council. Is there any consensus to write them a letter suggesting that they send a letter to affected property owners notifying them of the public hearing?
I think, Vance, I would just say this. They've gone through this with their attorneys. They are well aware of the issues, that, you know, their legal challenges and things like that. I think it's the state's issue. I think let them, you know, either fumble through it or do it properly, whatever happened. But I don't know if we need to say we'd like to, every individual property owner to be notified. I mean, we do it as just, I think, as a
courtesy,
right? So, I mean, we're not even required to do it. So I think if they properly do it and I'd leave it up to them. I don't think we need to get into
it. I'm sure the courts have decided overlay zones require notification. Ms. Deaver, do you have any interest in suggesting that?
I know some folks would be very upset if they got those letters, and they really are not prepared to deal with this. And
you'd be upset if they got a letter?
They would. They'll be upset.
Notifying of the, he's just saying a letter to notify them of the hearing, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, they're afraid that, well, they don't have the money to upgrade.
No, letters.
Are you suggesting that it'd be better that they not get letters?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying facts. I'm giving you the facts of what's going on in my district.
Well, I move that we provide a letter from council to DENREC asking them to notify all affected property owners of a public hearing explaining these regulations. Would you second that?
No, because we're not even required to do that. We advertise in the paper, and that's all we do. And then we may send notices out to people within 200 feet of a hearing. No, that's excessive.
Do we have a second for the motion?
I think it's their issue. Let them deal with it in advance.
Okay. They're my constituents.
Thank you, then.
Thank you, sir.
We will now move to our 10:30.